Mentorship is a subject that all of us at many times in our life have been very much interested in. This is Dr. Herb Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Mastership means as many things to as many people as there are on the earth. Everyone seems to have an entirely different point of view as to what mastership means for them. Of course, we all say that there is a universal presence, there's a universal understanding of what mastership means, but truly, each one of us interprets being a master in our own way, in our own life, in our own circumstances. Consider what most people want when they think of mastery. Some people think of mastery over finances. Some people think of mastery over business, personal relationships, bodily wholeness. Whatever it may be, it is an individual thing, something that each person thinks about as important to themselves. What is it that you think about when you think about being a master? What do you consider as truly important for yourself when you think of the idea of being a master? We know we oftentimes think of great painters as being master painters. We think of master plumbers, yes, master craftsmen. We think of people who are masters of their trade, masters of their profession. And this is all very good. It's all really quite important on one level of consciousness. But truly, what are we here for? What is the purpose of our existence on this earth? Is it to be a master craftsman? Is it to be a great, talented person? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. But what is our real purpose in being? Is it to develop a physical body that is pure and strong and beautiful? Is it to be a great statesman, a person of great personal magnitude, great charisma, one who works with others and guides their lives and brings great goodness into their experience? Well, you might say that's important, and to a large degree it truly is. Once mastery is gained over earthly experiences, then such things as levitation, teleportation, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, manifestation, and so forth, these are sought. After that is sought by people everywhere, then we consider unity with all, a kinship with all life, where we are one with the universe, we are one with the sky, we are one with the birds and the trees, one with the animals, one with each other, and one with God. It's kind of a backwards technique, to be sure. Could we ever drive a car without fuel? Could we ever turn on a light without power? Well, some can do that. But can you and I, in our present understanding, do that? What value would a beautiful car be to us if we did not have the fuel to operate it? We might have a tremendously valuable luxury car with all the accoutrements of a beautiful car. Air conditioning, radio, stereo, reclining seats, electric windows, everything that anyone could want in an automobile, plus a good engine and lots of good tires and comfortable seats and all that sort of thing too. And that would be just fine. But without a realization of what the power is that is needed to operate that car would be of little value to us. That car would be like having a beautiful body and not having a very smooth understanding of who and what we are. This is oftentimes true with people. They have developed a physical vehicle in which to live, which is most amazingly beautiful. And yet they have not taken the time to find that power that continually maintains it. That power that operates that physical vehicle, and that power is not something outside of themselves, not something separate from themselves, but something very much within their own being. That power is something very much present within every man. That power is our divine reality. All these things of talents, a beautiful body, a whole and sound frame, a marvelous consciousness, a well-educated mind. All of these things are mere window dressings. They're mere effects, just effects of a cause that has been placed in motion. But is that cause really something that you want to continue and you want to experience in your lifetime? Or is it a cause that will have to be reunited with something once again? Is it like exercising that you have to do continuously to keep your body in fit condition? Is it like eating? If you stop eating, you'll waste away. What is it? Truly, what is it? A master has a greater control over all that he is than just that. Reminds me of the story of the goose that laid the golden egg. Remember that fairy tale? That goose laid those beautiful golden eggs, and everyone wanted those eggs. But the little boy, Jack and the Beanstalk, I believe. Little boy Jack climbed up there and brought back that goose, leaving the golden eggs there. And the goose, of course, laid eggs for him. What would we go after? Are we going after those golden eggs, those effects in life? Or were we going after that marvelous channel through which those eggs were laid? Are we going after that source, that which brought about the good? To be a master in all things, we begin at our source, and then we proceed from that premise. We begin at the very, very beginning. We teach our children to study in school and become talented and able. But we don't spend time with their spiritual understanding. We teach our children all of the important things about getting along in this world and cooperating with one another. But we don't spend time telling them the divine very beingness that is within them. Perhaps it's because we don't know it ourselves. It's always amusing when one thinks about the time that children spend in school, learning the 3 R's, learning all of these wonderful abilities to get along in this world. And yet it's only a temporary thing. For tomorrow this world is not. But we are. We continue forever and ever and ever. We continue into existences beyond that which we can readily see today. For we are immortal. We do continue down the long line of eternity, and it's a beautiful line. What is the purpose of our being on this planet Earth? There are many who will give you answers, but the only answer that you have for being here is not the one I'm going to give you, but the answer that comes from within your own very being. The divine within you, God in you as you, knows what your purpose is to be here. And from my understanding, our purpose to be here is to express the divine that is within us. To express that beautiful, eternal principle that exists at the very heart of our being forever and ever. To be a master in all things, we begin at the source. A master knows his unity with all, his oneness with the universal cause, and That is where he works. That is where he starts. The cause that he is, the one and only, and he works out of that awareness. Many of us have a tendency to say, I'm not yet ready to be a master. That's fine. That's our privilege. I'm not ready yet to be a master. That's wonderful. If we have arrived at that point in our consciousness where we are ready to say, I am not yet ready to be a master, then that's the decision we make. It's a decision somewhat like saying, I'm not yet ready to swim the English Channel, or I'm not yet ready to learn how to skydive. I'm not yet ready to be a mathematician or a great pianist or a portrait painter or whatever. I'm not yet ready. And that's just fine. But the day will come in our consciousness when we say that we are ready. When we are ready to take responsibility for who and what we are, and we are ready to begin to act as a master. Begin to act from the premise of our divine beingness. And when that day comes, there will be no trumpets or horns or great sounds that will be all about us, but there will be that still knowingness within ourselves. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about how does God talk to us? How do we, as God, talk to ourselves? What is that still small voice that we have spoken of so often and we've thought about so often? How does God speak to us? How do we, as God, speak to ourselves? Is there a still small voice within us that wants to speak to us? The answer, of course, is no, not really. What is it, then, how we communicate with our divine self and how our divine self communicates with us? The communication takes place in a knowingness, in a real, intuitive knowingness. We know what is right and beautiful. We know what is good. We know where we are. We know where we're going. We know that we know. And this is the real communication that takes place within our divine self. And then once we begin to know these things, then we begin to act upon them. Now a master is one who acts upon these things. A master is one who listens to himself, speaking to himself, and responds to it. Many times we have beautiful ideas that come into our consciousness wanting expression, and we deny them expression. We have too many things to do, too many mountains to climb, too many rivers to cross, too many jobs to look into. And so we do not do those beautiful things that are expressive of our true and real nature. And it's really quite unfortunate. For we have thrown out the true beingness within us and ignored it, where we could have been enjoying that marvelous experience of wholeness, that marvelous experience of total beingness, which is what we are and what we always will be. We can do this, you know. We can be masters. We can listen to the real within ourselves speaking to ourselves. No matter how far afield it may be, no matter how outlandish it may be, if we listen to the divine voice within us, which is just ourselves speaking to ourselves, and follow that, great and marvelous things take place in our life. It's our opportunity to be. Now, many people are like the other seagulls in Jonathan Livingston's Seagull. Remember the story where Jonathan entered into this higher state of awareness? And he said to Sully, Sullivan, the other seagull, where is everybody? Why, I thought heaven would be Well, Sally said to Jonathan, you are one in a million birds. You have done in one lifetime what it takes others 10,000 lifetimes to accomplish. Now, why was it that Jonathan did in one lifetime what it took other birds 10,000 lifetimes to do? Why is it that some of the people in our world, some people that we know about, who are rather remarkable people, do in one lifetime what it takes others thousands of lifetimes to do? Well, think of it once. If someone said to you, you may begin now the study of your mastership. Now that means that you can become quiet, you can follow the divine within yourself, you can lead that exemplary life, you can accomplish all of these beautiful experiences right now. And what is it we say? Well, I have a job to do. I have a 9-to-5 to work. I have the movie to go to. I have to take my family out for this or that. I have to take care of the family. I have to do these things. I have all of these responsibilities which I must maintain and take care of. And we turn our back on being the divine that we are. You know, it reminds me of the story of Brother Lawrence. He was a man who was placed in this monastery by his own choice. And he chose to follow God. He chose to be a religious, devoted man. He chose to be spiritual in everything he did. And what did they do? They put him in the kitchen. They had him washing dishes. How dumb! Well, to Brother Lawrence, it was not dumb. To him, every dish he washed was for his Savior. Every glass that he cleaned out was for his Savior. Was for the divine, was for God. It was a dedication to the eternal. While his understanding of who is divine, that it was perhaps something outside of himself, that doesn't matter. He was making his direction of his understanding, and that's all we all can do, is to follow the divine leading within us. For one day the divine leading will take us into the purity and the wholeness that we are. But the choice, as always, is totally and simply ours. Can you and I make where we are an expression of the divine? Can we, in doing our everyday chores or opportunities to serve, make them for the God within a pure and beautiful experience? Can we go to work and be in the world about us and yet find purity and wholeness? Yes, we can. Because we are the creators of our world. We are the total creators of our world. A master has all things and acts as though he does, and his world reflects this allness. A master knows his unity with all, his oneness with the universal cause, and he is and works out of this awareness. Yes, as we go to work, as we go into our daily experiences, whatever it may be, in the world about us, we can be like Brother Lawrence and work from the divine, do everything for the divine within us. But you and I have a little edge here. For we know that a master is the creator of his world rather than being created in and by his world. We are the creators of our world. All men really are the creators of their world, whether they recognize it or not. But we recognize it. We recognize that we are the creators of our world. We recognize that we are totally responsible for everything we do. If we live in a world of harmony, much like that beautiful bird call we hear, if we live in a world of harmony, then our world will be harmony. But if we live in a world which we feel is raucous discord, then that's what it is. You know, there was a woman who lived in the country, and she loved living in the country in the quiet solitude of just the birds, watching the deer come to the creek nearby as it babbled along to take their drink, watching the lizards as they crawled about in the sunlight. And then it became a time and age in her life where her family felt that she should be with them, not off by herself in this lonely solitude. And so they sold her farm, or her little homestead on the creek, for her. And they brought her to the city to live with them and be taken care of properly. And the lady was very much accustomed to sitting on her porch, rocking in her rocking chair. And one day, one of her friends, who knew of her wonderful solitude in the far hills, said to her, "How can you sit out here in this front porch of this house, right next to this freeway, with the road sounds all about, the noise of the automobiles and everything, all that very confusing noise, when you're so used to having the beautiful solitude of the countryside?" And the lady said, "Well, I sit here and rock, and I listen to the quietness between the cars. I listen to the quietness that takes place whenever a car isn't between the passes." Now, this is what she said. This is how she conquered her world. This is how she handled the world in which she lived, and brought it into a beautiful experience. And you know, each one of us can do that. Each one of us can create our world about us. Even though the world might have the teeming sounds of automobiles going by, the raucous calls of people as they walk along the busy thoroughfares shopping in the downtown areas, the busy machinery of a manufacturing plant or an office with its clickety-clack of its typewriters. Reminds me of the story of Brunhilde. I may have told this before, but Brunhilde is a cartoon strip on a Sunday funny papers. And she is a rather gruesome-looking lady. And one of her dear friends, her boyfriend, Gaylord, came along one day and saw her snoozing in the grass. She was fast asleep. And he brought a thundering herd of horses by her, and she did not arise. He brought zooming noises along and all sorts of things to attract her attention, but she did not listen or become awake. None of these things disturbed her. And then he secreted himself behind a nearby tree, and he called out, "Hey, baby, can I have a date?" And Brunhilde awakened from her sleep, alert and aware. And, what? We always hear what we want to hear. We hear the peace and quiet of the world if we want to, or we hear the loud noises of the world if we want to. It's always our choice, totally and wonderful. We're the creators of our world. Many people who work at their everyday jobs Do so peacefully and quietly. Do so in complete relaxation. They go home at the end of the day without their migraine headache, without being jangled in their nerves. They're relaxed. But a few, perhaps quite a few, allow the world to control them. Allow the world to enforce itself upon them. But now, when we realize that we are a master, we are somewhat like Brunhilde, and we hear only what we want to hear. We hear only what we want in the world in which we live. If we live in a world which is a bustling, teeming world, which is a world that we choose to be in at this moment, a world that is very busy, we can hear only what we want and be at peace. Or we can allow the world to inflict itself on us. The choice is ours. We are the creator of our world. And as the creator of our world, we can take control. Now, are you the creator of your world? Am I the creator of my world? Is our world a reflection of what we really believe about ourselves? Is our world really an outpicturing of that which we believe about ourselves? The answer is yes. Always and totally, the answer is yes. The answer is a total 100% yes, because wherever we are, whatever we are doing, our world outpictures exactly what we believe about ourselves. Some may cry in alarm that this is not true. I did not make this happen. Other people inflicted their will upon me. This is part of life. I didn't bring this war into my life. I didn't bring this turmoil, this hurricane or tornado. I didn't bring this pestilence into my life, this illness. Here I am with this crippled body, and I didn't bring that into my life. I didn't bring all of these children necessary for me to care for in my life, or this aged parent. I didn't bring these things into my life. Well, we certainly did. We certainly did. We brought them into our life because we wanted them. We wanted those experiences. Again, the cry may come, who would want such an experience of being burdened by these problems? Well, those who have them wanted them. And those who have them and still have them continue to want them. For the moment we change our consciousness, for the moment we create our world according to what we do want, we will have it. For we are continually creating our world to represent what it is that we want. Our world continually outpictures exactly what we expect of it. So now, if you want, as a master, to enjoy a harmonious world, begin to think harmonious thoughts about your world. Begin to think harmonious thoughts about the conditions under which you live. If you want an abundant world, begin to think of an abundant world of goodness and things flowing into your circumstances constantly, and they will be there. But you know, a master doesn't do this. A master doesn't take point by point by point and claim these things as his and experience them. Some fledgling masters perhaps do. But a true master creates the world exactly as he wants it. He creates the world representative of his divine beingness. And the world, representative of his divine beingness, outpictures exactly what he believes about himself. The first thing that a master says is that he is God. 100% God. 100% the creator of everything that is in his environment. And as he is this 100% God, then everything in his world reflects back to him whatever momentary thoughts he has, fleeting as they may be, or whatever deep, penetrating, wonderful, magnificent thoughts converging upon his consciousness. What is it that's in our consciousness? What is it that's in our mind? What is it that is in our world? Whatever it is what we are expressing and experiencing right now. When we turn everything over, without any ulterior motive, to the divine within us, then we are completely whole. When we turn everything over to the spiritual reality that we are, then we are complete in every way. We've made the statement once before that when you have everything, you want nothing. And then we turn the statement around. When you want nothing, you have everything. Now, there's a certain logical truth about that. In some people's mind, it might be a limited truth, but there is a logical truth about that. When you want nothing and know that you are everything, then you have everything. Now, this doesn't mean you do without. This doesn't mean that you don't have the things that go to make your life fulfilled and beautiful in whatever expression you may be in. But it means that when you want nothing, you are recognizing that all things were given to you from the very beginning. All things were given to us from the very beginning by the creative cause that brought us into being, which is ourselves. And this creative cause brought us into being to express itself, which is ourself. And this, of course, brings a lot of confusion to many of us as we think about it. But when we really think about it deeper, it becomes a very clear, a very lucid idea. For we are all things. For the mind is the mold out of which all things come into being. And whenever we think about anything at all, it manifests itself for us according to our belief about it. Whenever we consider any concept at all in the universal allness, it becomes something real in our experience. It becomes something very definite, very positive, and very wonderful in our world. For we are the creators of our world. We are the grand creators. A master is the creator of his world, rather than being created by his world. A master creates all in this world, the people, the places, the things, the circumstances, the relationships. And he does this by being, you might say, beatific, by being an absolutely wonderful, loving center of all that is good. Now, many may take from this that they should run off to the mountaintop or to the caves in the Himalayas or to the countryside for separateness. And this is not true. For wherever we are is where we belong. And what we must do, we don't must do anything, but what it is desirable for us to do is to recognize that where we are is where we have chosen to be. And if we would choose to experience something else, then we merely create it. Now, if you choose and I choose to be our divine, marvelous self, the way that we be our divine, marvelous self is by claiming our awareness of who and what we are. We are God. We are the totality of God. We are the allness of God. We are the fullness of God. And there is none beside that. For we are God, wonderfully, beautifully, totally, perfectly now. We are God. And we created the world we're in, the people we see, the places we experience, the things that happen to us, the circumstances, the relationships. We've created them all. Now all that's due for us to do, as we experience them, is to become aware that each is perfect. That the ideal form by which all were brought into being is perfect. So the clattering typewriters are perfect. For in our consciousness, whatever to us becomes raucous, we phase out of our listening ability, and we hear only the smooth flow of words being transmitted to paper for other gods to enjoy and know. We hear the communication over the telephone of voices joyfully expressing a harmony and a peace and an awareness of each other's beingness. We see people working in harmony and joy with one another, expressing the divinity of their total being. We ourselves are part of that beingness. For it is a world that we've created, it's a world that we are in, and it's a beautiful world. A master enjoys his world, and a master finds all that he does is fun. Fun! Isn't that a beautiful word? So often we think of fun as something we do after work is over. Fun is something we do after we have done our job. Fun is something that we do after we have retired or on our vacations. But a master experiences fun in everything he does. A master enjoys everything that he does. Here I am, putting this message on tape of being a master. And I have chosen to sit out in this mountaintop sunshine, listening to the birds in the trees, watching the lizards as they dash about along the mountainside here, and they cock their head and look at me. And the sun is shining down so gloriously, the green live oak trees filling the valley, absolutely gorgeous. And the mountains, with their ever-changing reflections, the sun casting shadows here and there. A glorious, beautiful experience. A wonderful experience. For everything that I do is fun, and shall always be fun. For I am the creator of my world, as you are the creator of your world. And yesterday, as we had our wonderful worship service underneath the live oak tree, in our outdoor chapel. We had a beautiful service. And after the service, everyone sat in their wonderful seats, thinking to themselves, why does it have to end? And we sat there and meditated. And we watched the wildlife about us. Peaceful, harmonious. For this place is blessed. Now, wherever you are is blessed too, but it's your choice to bless it, for you are God. The trees, the mountains, the hills, the rocks, all the vegetation, all the wildlife are truly blessed. But it's my choice to bless them, and in your world, it is your choice to bless them. You are the creator of your world. A master enjoys his world and finds all he does is fun. And this is what I do. A master is happy with himself totally. Do you like yourself totally? Are you totally happy with yourself? And the answer must and should be yes. Because if the answer is anything else, then whatever that else is, you created it. I was just watching a butterfly clinging to a little mustard plant here, drawing in the nectar of that yellow flower there. And the butterfly was heavier than the head of the flower itself and was hanging down toward its back. But it gathered in the beautiful scent and fragrance, the pollen, whatever it was taking from that mustard plant, and doing it lovingly. It's all part of nature's wonderful fun scheme of doing beautiful things. Well, you and I are part of nature's wonderful fun scheme of doing beautiful things too. And just as a master is happy with himself totally, a master is happy with everyone in his world, for he has created everyone in his world. So you and I, as masters, we constantly create in our world all of the people, all of the experiences, all of the circumstances that take place here. And as we do this, we bring into experience and expression beautiful, harmonious ideas and thoughts. Look about your world and begin to fall in love with it, for it is your creation. Look about your home and fall in love with it. They say love is blind, and how beautiful that is, for it sees only the beauty and harmony of all. Look at your family. Do they respect and respond to you according to the harmonious thoughts that you are? They should, for you created them. Look at the life that you're living. Is it expressing the fullness of being a master? Today, this instant, you are a master. Today, this instant, we are masters of our world. And as masters of our world, taking full charge of our world reflects back to us exactly what we believe about it, exactly what we know about it, exactly the happiness and the joy and the harmony that we are. We are the masters. We're not after things in this world, for they are added unto us. They are here already. We create them out of the mold of our consciousness. But all that we are after, if we're after anything at all, is being God. Being totally, wonderfully, completely the divine that we are. For we are the absolute perfection of the universe. We are the absolute magnificence of all that is. For you and I are God, as everyone in this entire world is God. And when we expect others to act as God in our consciousness, they will. For whatever we expect of them, they give back to us. And if we create others in our world as expecting us to act as God, then we will act as God, for we are God. And as we do this, what a glorious, wonderful world we experience. For we are totally masters of our world. We are totally masters of our universe, totally masters of everything we are or ever will be. But we must take responsibility. That's all that we must do if we choose to be masters. If you don't choose to be a conscious master of yourself, that's your privilege and your choice. That's my privilege and my choice. If we choose to do anything which negates the purity of our being, that's our choice. But as a master, we don't give up anything. We don't release anything. We don't stop doing anything. But as a master, all things which are for our highest expression, are our highest good, that's what we do. For as a master, we draw to ourselves the idea of who and what we are, and we experience it and express it, and it is us. And all that is unlike our new nature, our new understanding of ourselves, fades away. Yes, I am a happy master. And you are a happy master because you're in my world. And I bless you there forever and ever.